Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 26. We're going to be reading about harvest offerings or Pentecost, first fruits offerings, blessings and cursings mainly, for this beginning of our 10th biblical month on the new moon. It shall be, when thou art come in unto the land which Yahweh thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possess it, and dwell therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruits of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land, that Yahweh thy God giveth thee, and shalt put it in a basket, and go unto the place which Yahweh thy God shall choose to place his name there. And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto Yahweh thy God that I am come unto the country, or it could be translated the land or the earth, which Yahweh sware unto our fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand, and set it down before the altar of Yahweh thy God. And thou shalt speak and say before Yahweh thy God. Okay, so pretty much what we got going on is that when a person were to take certain things from their land, and this is be predominantly done at Pentecost time or at harvest time, which would be around the third month of the year, our biblical month, which is the third new moon, is when the wheat harvest is celebrated, one of the first harvests. However, the barley would have just came in prior to that. But it's the first fruits of the wheat harvest, that this is when these things were done. But it wouldn't mean that the things that were taken from the prior year and held over for the priest or for the widow and the fatherless and all that wouldn't have been given also, because we're told different places in the Bible that in the time of Nehemiah and Ezra, for instance, that they brought honey and oil and wine and a bunch of things, which would have taken time for them to harvest. So they brought that at this time also to give to the priest. And it was a dedicated time for the priests to get their portion. Understand? So that is what's happening here. And the man would actually fill up his basket with the first fruits of the earth, the wheat harvest. And he would take it to the priest that would be there, and he would give it to him. So he's actually going to the altar where he would offer to Yahweh, and declares that Yahweh's blessed him according to the way that he promised that he would bless our fathers. And so in our modern day, we can still remember this, even though we don't have a temple and an altar right now. We still have the ability to remember this thing, and it's important to remember the prayer or the, testament, that you could call it, that a man would say to the priest that reminded him every year who he was. It's kind of like a Israel identity understanding. This tells him where he was, where he came from, who he is, and who he is to Yahweh, and what Yahweh is going to do for him in the future. It says, he says unto the priest in verse 5, 26:5, a Syrian ready to perish was my father. And he went down into Egypt, and he sojourned, or he traveled there, with a few. And he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians evil entreated us, and afflicted us, and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried unto Yahweh, the God of our fathers, Yahweh heard our voice, and he looked on our affliction, and our labor and our oppression. And Yahweh brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, with great terribleness, with signs and with wonders. And he has brought us into this place, and he has given us this land, even a land that flows with milk and honey. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, or of the earth, which Yahweh our God, Yahweh, which thou, O Yahweh, has given me. And thou shalt set it before Yahweh thy God, and worship before Yahweh thy God. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which Yahweh thy God has given unto thee, and unto thine house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you. When you have made an end of tithing all the tithes of thine increase on the third year, which is the year of tithing, and has given it unto the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that they may eat within thy gates and be filled. So there was apparently also a national law that said on the third year that the people were to bring all of the things that they were given to the temple or the tabernacle, depending on your time, in order to make sure that the people got their portion. It seems like what it's recommending is that people may not have had the ability to come to the tabernacle every year due to circumstances, but every third year they were supposed to be sure to do it. And that would make sense because some animals don't mature until the second and third year enough for it to be worth anything to the priests or for food and things like that. And some things take time to make and to create. So you can consider that that might be the reason why it was done every third year. But it's also made sure to be mentioned that not only were the regular people supposed to celebrate this, but they were supposed to include the Levites who had no inheritance, the strangers, the people who were traveling in their land that didn't have a home. These would probably be what we read yesterday when we read Deuteronomy, you know, the Edomites that you couldn't abhor and the Egyptians that were living there for three generations. They had to be included somehow into the mix. And so the whole entire people were being asked to take care of Levites, the strangers, the fatherless, the widow, with Yahweh's festival, so that everybody could have a good time in the year. And 13 says, then thou shalt say before Yahweh thy God, I have brought away the hallowed things out of my house. Also I have given them unto the Levite, and unto the stranger, and to the fatherless, and to the widow, according to all thy commandments which thou hast commanded me. I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. Now the word hallowed things here, when it's talking about hallowed things, there's one thing specifically that I know is hallowed that we understand from having fruit trees, and that is that in the third year of the fruit tree, the fruit was considered to be holy. And then on the fifth year, the common people, we were allowed to eat it. And we never really understood, well, what do you do with it on the fourth year? Some trees don't even make fruit until that time. Well, those very first fruits were supposed to go to the priests that came off the tree. So how they got them to them, or made them into wine, or made them into dried fruit, or whatever it is they did with them, or maybe they got their local Levites, fatherless, and homeless people at the time of their harvest and made sure to give it to them. This is just an avowing. He's pretty much saying to Yahweh, he's promising to the priest and to Yahweh that he brought away these hallowed things out of his house and he had given them to the proper people. So we know that the holy things were allowed to be given to Levites, strangers, fatherless, widow. And it doesn't necessarily, at least at this time, say that it had to be given to the priests for the temple. So there's a good possibility that some of those things should still go to those people if we have people in our congregation or our church to give them to. People that are in need are supposed to be taken care of by these holy things, apparently. And it was a pretty big deal that he had to promise this to God, that he didn't use them for some other reason. He goes on and says, I have not eaten thereof, or I haven't eaten them, in my mourning, neither have I taken away aught for any unclean use, nor given aught thereof for the dead. But I have hearkened to the voice of Yahweh my God, and I have done according to all that thou hast commanded me. So there's apparently things that maybe they had done at this time with this third year fruit, or this fruit that was to be used, and these first crops that could have been used for pagan reasons or for idol worshiping or for some other thing that was unclean. But he's swearing to his holiness that he's not done anything wicked or unclean like that he shouldn't have done. Okay, so one of the questions you might have is, what do you do if you have given one of these things incorrectly, or eaten it, or didn't use it? Could be a question that was, it's a question that was asked here. And that answer would be that according to Leviticus, it says that a fifth part was added to it and then given to the priest. So it sounds like the value of it. So you have to make up for it, basically, we could call it like by interest almost. God requires something beyond what its value is actually, in order to make it good with him. So there's an answer to that possibility. And then he says to Yahweh in 15, "Look down from thy holy habitation from heaven. Bless thy people Israel and the land which thou hast given us, as thou swearest unto our fathers, a land that floweth with milk and honey." So at the very end here, we can definitely see at this part in 15 that we just read, the end of where we just read, I mean, that he's asking Yahweh that whatever place Yahweh has given the people, so this is not specific to Palestine necessarily, or the land of Israel, the place we think of as Israel on the map, but the place where Israel lives and where they practice this, and Christian countries have in times past practiced things like this. It's not like it's foreign to Christians. But he's asking Yahweh to bless this land which he's given them, that he swore to them, and the way that he blessed them, which we'll see as we keep reading, that one of the blessings for the land Yahweh live, or the people live in, is that Yahweh will bless them with a land that flows with milk and honey, which at this time at least definitely could not describe the land of Palestine, which is more or less like a desert. This land, it says in 16, this day Yahweh thy God has commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Thou hast avouched Yahweh this day to be thy God, and to walk in his ways, and to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments, and to hearken unto his voice. And Yahweh has avouched thee this day to be his particular, or his special, or his treasured people, as he has promised thee, that thou shouldest keep all his commandments, to make thee high above all nations, which he hath made in praise and in name, in honor, that thou mayest be a holy people unto Yahweh thy God, as he has spoken. You know, some people don't think that these verses are very important. They don't think that these feasts are important feasts, or that they have a relevance for today, that they're just from some bygone era of a people that had a temple and a place to go, and now in Jesus we don't have to do things like this. But it's pretty straightforward that at the end of 26 in Deuteronomy, that he says that by doing these things, God won't just bless your land, but that he will bless you. And that in doing them, it will remind you that this day, Yahweh your God commanded you to do these things, and that they were supposed to do it with all of their heart and their soul, which is New Covenant language. That's where God puts his law, into people's hearts and in their mind. Okay, so we can definitely see a New Covenant application to this kind of understanding, that I think most Christians would be able to see the language connection in both of them. It also says that Yahweh would avouch to you, and you would avouch to Yahweh, which is another way to say that you're promising to him, that you're swearing to him, that you're making an oath, that you're giving yourself over to Yahweh's ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and to hearken to his voice or to his word. Okay, and Yahweh says in connection to that, that you're going to be my special, particular, treasured people, and I'll make you higher than everybody else, just like I promised. And one of the things that people forget in our modern day is that at one time, every harvest that our Puritan ancestors used to harvest went to God. Every time they did this, they remembered things like this, that they always gave Yahweh the blessing the firsts, the things that they wanted most, that they needed most, they made sure that he had it, and they gave him credit for it. He was their God, and they were his people, and they were thankful to have what they got, but they also knew that they were to give to Yahweh what he had given to them. And so when a people stop and they forget that agriculture and that where their food comes from was given first from God, it actually creates people to be all of the things it says that we don't do with it, or we wouldn't do with it, we shouldn't have done. That they use foods for unclean uses, and that they use foods for different reasons that should have been given to Yahweh, and instead it's not. So you can see how America and other European nations, while they still consider themselves high above all other people, they think they're the best people on the earth, I'm sure every country thinks of themselves that way, that in reality, in Yahweh's sight, they're losing their status as his special treasured people, and it's being proven in the curses that are being upon us, which is the next part of this particular reading. It says in 27 of Deuteronomy, Moses, with the elders of Israel, commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day, and it shall be on the day when ye shall pass over Jordan unto the land which Yahweh thy God giveth thee, and thou shalt set thee up great stones and plaster them with plaster, and thou shalt write upon them all the words of this law, when thou art passed over, that thou mayest go in unto the land which Yahweh thy God giveth thee, a land that floweth with milk and honey, as Yahweh God of thy fathers hath promised thee. Therefore it shall be, when ye be gone over Jordan, that ye shall set up these stones, which I command you this day, in Mount Ebal, and thou shalt plaster them with plaster. And there shalt thou build an altar unto Yahweh thy God, an altar of stone. You shall not lift up any iron tool upon them. Thou shalt build the altar of Yahweh thy God of whole stones, and thou shalt offer burnt offerings thereon unto Yahweh thy God. Thou shalt offer peace offerings, and shalt eat there, and rejoice before Yahweh thy God. And thou shalt write upon stones all the words of the law very plainly. And Moses and the priests, the Levites, spake to the people, saying, take heed and hearken, O Israel, this day thou art become the people of Yahweh thy God. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of Yahweh thy God, and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day. So they're going to make this altar, and Yahweh says, I want you to make a spot on the Jordan River between two mountains, that every time you go there to see it, you're going to have something there. And the most important part, I think, of what we just read is that you shall write upon these stones the words of the law plainly. Okay, we're going to write on the law something real plain that you can understand, something easy for the common people to see and read. It's pretty obvious that Israel was not an illiterate people when they came out of the wilderness. They were able to read, they were able to write. Some people would say otherwise. Moses charged the people in 11 that same day, saying, these shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people when ye are come over Jordan. Now he names some of the tribes. These ones are for blessing. He's splitting the tribes into two, one for blessings and the other will be for cursings. Simeon and Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. These ones are going to be the blessing tribes. These shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. Why he chose them and split them up, I don't know. Doesn't give us a reason. And the Levites shall speak and say unto all the men of Israel with a loud voice. He's going to say a lot of the things we've already read. Things that most Christians don't think that we should do, but that our modern Christianity has decided more recently that isn't really all that bad, and that Jesus probably wouldn't really mind if we did it. He'll forgive us no matter what. And it says, cursed be he that sets light by his father or his mother, and all the people shall say Amen. So I accidentally jumped ahead. Hold on a second. Let me go back to 15. Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto Yahweh, the work of the hands of a craftsman, and puts it in a secret place, and all the people shall answer and say, Amen. So, he's even forbidding right off the beginning here that he can't make something unto Yahweh that is molten or graven. If you notice the language here, it says he makes any graven or molten image an abomination unto Yahweh. Okay? It is an abomination to him to do it to anything, but it's definitely forbidden that Yahweh gets a molten, graven image or likeness of himself for the people to worship. And the people are to say Amen, which, as we've talked about before, is the word for faith, belief, trust. And so the people are affirming that they believe this. They trust this. Amen's not just some magical ending for a prayer. Okay, it's the Hebrew word for trust, faith, or belief, and it should always be remembered what you're saying when you speak in another tongue. Because if you lose the meaning, as the Apostle Paul teaches us, when you lose the meaning, it's no different than hearing the tinkling of a bell or a cymbal. It's just another noise. What do you do with it? Cursed be he that sets light by his father or his mother, and all the people shall say, I have faith, or Amen. Okay, most people agree that setting light is making fun of, or not caring about what they have to say. Alright? It's basically saying, cursed is he who disobeys or dishonors his father or his mother. In other words, a society that does not take their father or mother seriously and listen to their counsels and their words, but instead they set light near them, as if they have something better to add to it, or something that they can do to help them out, not in a good way, are cursed. It's a cursed people, just like a people cursed by having an idol. 17. Cursed be he that removes his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say, Amen. So, a person that removes their neighbor's landmark, while this doesn't happen all that often, when it does happen, it's a cursed event. It's something Yahweh's bringing to these people's attention that they absolutely shouldn't do. Okay? Moving the property lines that Yahweh actually established in the Israelite land. Changing tribal divisions. Changing things. And I think there's something more to be said about it from just the idea of not just theft, but of trying to mix up and change the things Yahweh has said. It's commonly thought to be a symbology of talking about when Yahweh says you don't go beyond this line of right and wrong, then you don't. You don't go there. So, believe it or not, it's as bad of a sin to move your neighbor's landmark as it would be to say, you don't really have to honor your father and mother anymore. We're not going to obey those old ancient traditions. Those are just old archaic things. Okay? There's a mark there that's in the ground that is supposed to be followed, and you don't go past it. So the idea behind that is that the two are just as cursed. You're just as cursed of a people. And at the end here, at the end of the curses, we'll see some of the things that can tie all of this together. It says in 18, cursed be he that makes the blind to wander out of the way, and all the people shall say Amen. 19, cursed be he that perverts the judgment of the stranger, that is the traveler, someone traveling through your land, someone who may not speak your language or understand your ways. The fatherless or the widow, and we've talked about this also recently, that a person who would pervert the judgment of these types of people is a truly wicked person, somebody who's trying to steal from them, take from them, maybe move their landmarks, or get them to do things that they don't need to do for benefit, to benefit themselves, or just because they're mean, whichever the reason might be. It really don't matter. 20. Cursed be he that lies with his father's wife, because he uncovered his father's skirt, or his father's nakedness. And all the people shall say, Amen. Something that doesn't seem like it should have to be said, but it's been said a bunch of times already in the Bible. And it's one of the curses that are being re-mentioned to the people to remember. To remember the line of separation, the mark, between related people, people of near relation that they shouldn't cross. 21. Cursed be he that lies with any manner of beast, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lies with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother, and all the people shall say, Amen. So it was so important to Yahweh that people shouldn't do these kinds of things that he puts them on the curse mountain. He actually writes them down on the mountain of cursing, that they not to engage in these types of adulteries, okay? Which I find to be kind of ironic, because the majority of Christianity would like us to believe that the forefathers did these things, Adam and Eve did these kinds of things, and all this stuff didn't even matter until right now. This is like the first generation that any of this mattered to. But it was so important to put it on the cursed mountain, and it just doesn't make a good biblical logic that Yahweh didn't think these things were cursed from the very beginning, that the people shouldn't have been doing these things, which is what we believe. That they've always been a cursed thing, and that this is to remind Israel not to act like the other nations that do them. 23. Cursed be he that lies with his mother-in-law, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that takes a reward to slay innocent blood. I'm sorry, I skipped another one. 24. Cursed be he that smites his neighbor secretly, and all the people shall say, Amen. And I'll reread 25. Cursed be he that takes a reward to slay an innocent person, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that confirms not to all the words of the law to do them, and all the people shall say, Amen. So he ends off with one of the verses that we hear throughout the Bible. I think Galatians chapter 3 talks about this, and people have tried to make it seem like anybody who doesn't do everything in the law is a cursed people, and because you can't do everything in the law, you're always cursed. Don't try. There's no reason to try. You just really can't ever win with God. But would we think that Yahweh made a society, a government of people, a way to live that just wasn't good for people, that was just too hard? You can answer.
No.
You think that Yahweh made a people that it was just too hard just not to marry your sister?
No.
You think it was just too hard not to marry your mother-in-law?
No.
Seems pretty ridiculous, doesn't it? But Yahweh's law, we know, is made for our good. And if we don't try to do it, we're going to be cursed. And it's true. Everything we do that breaks Yahweh's law moves us just a little bit further away from Yahweh. It moves us a little bit further away from His blessings. And then we're given the next side of it, which is the blessing. Now, something that is interesting is it's not evenly split up. I've thought this was interesting multiple times, and I've actually counted it out. We'll go and look at it again here. Deuteronomy 28 is the blessing section. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of Yahweh thy God, and to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that Yahweh thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. So the first thing he says, if you want to be blessed, don't do the bad things I said not to do, the sins, then I'm going to make you higher than every other nation, which kind of goes against the idea that every nation can be an Israelite, or that Israel is not a specific racial genealogical group of people. It goes in the face of that idea that there is one people set aside and selected for a special purpose to follow Yahweh's law. And that if they do that, they can bless all of the earth. And the closer they are to those blessings, the more blessed everybody else is. So then he says in 2, "And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee." So he says that the blessings will actually overtake you. They're going to take you over, kind of like an enemy would overtake someone in battle. The same word is used. They're going to cleave unto them. The word overtake is the same word in Genesis where we read where a man shall leave father and mother and cleave to his wife. That word cleave is the same word in the Hebrew as overtake. Okay? So Yahweh says that if you do these things, all these blessings will come on you and they'll actually cleave to you. Blessings will cling to you. So he's already guaranteeing from the beginning that people who start being blessed, it'll be harder for you to be unblessed than it will for you to stop being cursed. You understand? Okay, it's a blessing that clings to your people. Not that you can't wash it off or get rid of it, but it's harder to get rid of. Which I think is a nice thing to know, that if you do good things for Yahweh, he's going to have it cling to you or cleave to you or overtake you more than the curse will. Which definitely goes against the idea that not following Yahweh's laws, curse, is somehow cursing you forever. Because that promise is not there for cursings. It says in 3, "Blessed shalt thou be in the city. Blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, your children, the fruit of the ground, or the earth, the fruit of the cattle, the increase of your kine, or your cows, of the flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store," which we just read in 26, that you bring your basket full of the first fruits. That means your storehouse, where you store things up for the winter, where you store things up for time to come. "Blessed shalt thou be when thou come in. Blessed shalt thou be when you go out." That particularly is talking about coming and going in war, is how that phrase is generally used. When you come in and when you go out. "Yahweh shall cause thine enemies to rise up against thee, to be smitten before your face. They will come out against thee one way, but they will flee from before thee 7 ways." So they'll march into your city through the main gate, and they'll be running, jumping over the gates 7 different directions. They just can't wait to get out of your city, or get out of where they attacked. "Yahweh shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouse, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which Yahweh thy God giveth thee." So wherever you are, whatever land you're in, he's going to bless. "Yahweh shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of Yahweh thy God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth will see that thou art called by the name of Yahweh, and they shall be afraid of thee." So contrary to the idea that someone's going to see that you're called by the name of Yahweh and then they're going to decide to mix into Israelites because they want to be it, it actually says that they will become feared of thee. They'll fear thee. Kind of like we're asked to fear God, knowing we can't necessarily mix with God. We can't ever be as holy as him. The people will see Israel and they'll become afeared of him. They'll be like the fear of God will fall upon them, because of how righteous the people are and how God blesses them and protects them. "And Yahweh shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your cattle, in the fruit of your ground, in the land which Yahweh sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Yahweh shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his seasons, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend to many nations, and thou shalt not borrow." We've read that before. "And Yahweh shall make thee the head, and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of Yahweh thy God, which I command thee this day to observe to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any words which I command thee this day to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. So, we can even see here at the end of this blessing section, where it talks about going to the right hand or to the left, which is an exact quote from Christ. Christ, whenever he is telling us to go into the narrow way, to go into the straight way of blessing, he says, don't go to the left hand or go to the right hand, but go to the straight path. I think most Christians know that, but both don't know where it comes from. And it comes from Deuteronomy chapter 28, where Yahweh's admonishing the people that they live righteous lives and that they be a blessed people according to his law, that they follow his laws, they think about his laws, they observe them, put them in their heart, and they try to allow those laws to cling and cleave to them as a people better than they had prior. So it's very important to see that the blessings far outweigh the curses. Okay, the curses, we know are curses because they're natural curses in a lot of ways. A lot of the curses that are being promised to us are going to affect us physically. But some of the things that are given to us in blessing are supernatural. Some of the things go beyond what we could expect, that an enemy greater and more powerful than us is going to attack us and run away because they can't touch us. And it's the kind of thing that makes us want to be a blessed people, or should. But when people lose their faith, their amen, which is what the people said when they were being cursed, notice it didn't say, blessed be this and that, and all the people said amen. The faith of their belief was that if we did something cursed, we were going to be cursed. The faith was in curse. The faith wasn't necessarily in the blessing. We know that if we are a cursed people, and if we do the things that Yahweh says is wrong, we have faith, we have belief, we have trust that we will be cursed. Okay? And that's different than living Yahweh's law and Him blessing us. It's not no longer a thing that causes us to perish, which is what we're going to read next, but it's a thing that allows blessings to cling to us. So remember that belief and faith, amen, is only said, at least in this section of the Bible, when the curse is being applied, that we actually believe we shouldn't break Yahweh's law, and we should follow all His law. But it shall come to pass, in 15, if thou will not hearken to the voice of Yahweh thy God, to observe to do all His commandments, and to statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And now he's going to list out some very horrible curses. All right, so we have like a sandwich going on here. We have a sandwich of curse. We got the curse on Mount Ebal that is laying out some of the things we shouldn't do, that's going to plainly remind the people what laws to follow and keep them in the straight and narrow path. We're given a few good blessings that will cling to us and cleave to us and make us a great people, make us better than everybody else in Yahweh's eyes. And then we're right back to Him reminding us, because if you don't be a blessed people, if you're not a blessed people, I'm going to make you a cursed people, and here's what you're going to have. And I think America and Europe right now, and probably unfortunately the rest of the world, because the Bible says the whole of creation groans in the book of Romans. It says the whole of creation groans for the revealing of the sons of God. Okay, so when Israel's bad, when Yahweh's sons and daughters are bad, when they're cursed, the earth is cursed. And when the earth is cursed, Yahweh's blessings are not allowed to go out, and it's Israel's choice and decisions that can ultimately help everybody else on the earth. And that's, in a lot of ways, while there was oppression running rampant and there were things that happened in non-Israelite European nations, there was a lot of times where Israel helped a lot of people through the gospel. Because of their presence in their countries and continents, they didn't do them harm, but they actually helped them, civilized them, gave them things that helped their people out. maybe we would have been better to leave them all alone, but I don't know if the blessings of Abraham would have come to pass if we would have just stayed isolated. Okay, so let's pick up on these curses in 15. It will come to pass that if you will not hearken unto the voice of Yahweh thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And I'm going to have to say take something back that I said, because in this section it actually does say that these curses are going to overtake thee, which means to cling to thee also. So in the first section of curses, it wasn't clinging to you, but in this next section it is. So I guess it's after you've been a blessed people, after you've tasted and seen that Yahweh is good, like the psalm says, that if you still decide to go down the curse path, after your faith has been broken and Yahweh's ability to bless and curse, then they're going to overtake you, and they're going to cling to you. They're going to cling to your people. 16. Cursed shalt thou be in the city. Cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine, or the cows, the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou come in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goes out. You know, in this particular situation, we can just think right now of things, and we're living in a fairly blessed time where the blessings of our ancestors are still clinging to us a little bit. So we can't complain too loud, but nevertheless, it says in here that our fields, our basket for our food, our storehouses, okay, our children, the fruit of our body, the land, the fruit that the land yields, diseases in the land and the people, diseases in the field, diseases in our agriculture and our sheep and our goats, our cows, okay? Our wartime adventures, we're going to have cursing and all of these different things. Now, it doesn't say it's going to necessarily consume us all at one time, but we're going to notice a huge increase in problems that are going to occur in curses. Biblically, they're called curses. So these curses are going to affect our soldiers, people that are fighting, coming in and going out. Well, we know that's happening. We have all kinds of new stress diseases and disorders that are affecting people that fight for unjust causes. We also know that we have all kinds of different diseases affecting our cattle and our crops that we've never had before. And man thinks that they can beat them with genetically modified organisms. And we think that we can beat them with all new medicines and... Now we're finding out that the medicines and the antibiotics are making people sick. And we can't beat that now. And we have no way to beat it. So Yahweh's will, his curse, is going to get increased, and that's what he's going to go to say. He says in 20, Yahweh shall send upon thee cursing vexation. It's kind of like a way of saying a curse of being wearied, a curse of being vexed, tormented. Okay, a cursing of just cursings. Just an unhappy, unstable people. Rebuke in all that thou set your hand unto for to do. In other words, we go to do something and it just doesn't work out. It doesn't seem like we can get things to work right as a nation. And you set your hand unto for to do until thou be destroyed. Would be kind of maybe the equivalent of trying to nail a nail in and keep slipping off the head and smashing your finger until you bleed to death. Okay, that's kind of what I think of when I think about this verse. I think of the Lord shall send upon you cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that your hand goes for to do till you're destroyed and you perish quickly. Okay, I kind of imagine myself nailing a nail into a piece of oak and trying to slam it in, and every time I do it, it slips off the head, smashes my finger, which is a really, really painful thing if anybody's... Most people have felt that, so it's a good analogy. And then you do it so much until you're angry, you're vexed, and then you just die from lack of blood. It'd be a pretty horrible way to kill yourself, but that's Israel's situation right now. That's the kind of thing that they're doing. They just keep smashing their fingers, and they don't seem to know what they've done wrong. Because of the wickedness of your doings whereby thou hast forsaken me, Yahweh shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, diseases, until he has consumed thee from off the land whither thou go to possess it. Yahweh will smite thee with a consumption and with a fever, with an inflammation and with an extreme burning, with the sword, that would be war, with blasting, with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. So he's not talking about sending an army against us. He's talking about sending natural forces that are in the world. Mildew, mold, disease, destruction. He's going to send them like a sword after us to consume the people, to consume everything he's blessed. The heaven that is over thy head will be as brass. The earth that is under thee shall be iron. Yahweh will make the rain of your land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. Well, that's global warming for you, you know. Everybody's looking for a reason for why the temperatures are changing and we have rain out of due season and things are drying up in the Midwest. There's deserts where there never were deserts before. And they just haven't read their Bible enough to have faith in those curses. That's really the unfortunate truth of the matter. 25. Yahweh will cause thee to be smitten before your enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. So now the reverse is happening to us. And shall be removed into all kingdoms of the earth. So Yahweh says, after I have destroyed your land with pestilence, after I've taken away my blessings, after I have done all of this bad stuff to you, after the mildew's overtaken your crops, the mold, the problems, then I'm going to send somebody in that's going to drag you out of your land and make you a slave again. If you still won't repent, that's what I'm going to do to you, Israel. And your carcasses, or your dead bodies, will be meat for the fowl of the air, unto the beasts of the earth. And no man will frighten them away. They'll just let them lay. Nobody's even going to bury them. If you remember in the apocryphal book of Tobit, this was happening, and Tobit would get up from his table to bury his brethren because they would leave him lay out there. And actually, now that I'm thinking about it, he sat down to a Pentecost dinner when he did it the last time in the book. So, interesting that we just read that, and that's so close in Deuteronomy to this verse. He sat down to Pentecost dinner, and his son came in and said, one of our people are laying in the street dead. Nobody will bury him. And Tobit got up from his good food, and he went out and buried the man and became unclean. 27. Yahweh will smite thee with boils of Egypt, with the emerods or hemorrhoids, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou cannot be healed. Yahweh will smite thee with madness, crazy people, blindness, astonishment of heart, which in this case, blindness is not the blindness of the eyes, it's the blindness of the mind. Thou shalt grope at noonday, as a blind man gropes in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in your ways. Thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man will save thee. There is no human thing that can actually save these people. Nothing can do it. There's only one thing that's going to save these people. There's only one thing that's going to save their nation. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man will lie with her. Thou shalt build a house, you shall not dwell in it. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and thou shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Complete opposite of what we read just the other day, that the captains say to the men in battle. They go to the men in battle, and what do they tell them? They say, if you're afraid, you haven't been with your wife, go home and take her. You haven't lived in your house, go home and live in it. If you haven't drank the wine of your vineyard, go home. If you're afraid, we don't want you here. You don't have a chance this time. You don't have an option. You're not even going to go out and fight. They're just going to come in and do it. And there's nothing you can do about it because you just simply won't fall on your knees and repent as a nation. That's just the simple truth of why Yahweh has decided to do what he's decided to do, is just because you won't love him and have faith. 31. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. It's the complete reversal of Yahweh's law. Everything he said was just and right, everything that you needed to do to your neighbor, every way that you should have been just to your own people in your dealings with one another, is completely taken from you. Now a nation comes upon you, or your own nation is changed to people who steal violently and take things from you. No regard for God's law. There is no law. Jesus took that away. Thy sons and thy daughters will be given to another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all day long, and there shall be no might in thine hand. The fruit of your land and all your labor shall a nation, and that word is not the normal word for nation, it should just read a people. It is not the word goyim or goy, it's a different word. Which thou knowest not, eat up. So they eat your food, you don't even get a chance to eat it. And thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of your eyes, which you shall see. You're angry, you're crazy because of the things that happen before your very eyes. Yahweh will smite thee in the knees and in the legs with sore boils that cannot be healed, from the sole of your foot to the top of your head. Yahweh will bring thee thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, unto a nation. That's the word normally translated Gentiles, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known. And there shall thou serve other gods, wood and stone. Interesting that that's the word used there, because he's talking about making the people blind to who they are. He's talking about the same thing the Psalm of Moses says. I will make them a people who are not a people. And that's what Hosea changed. different subject. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among the nations. That's the different peoples, different word again. Not the word goyim or Gentile. Whether Yahweh shall lead thee. Thou shalt carry much seed into your field, but you shall gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shall neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worm will eat them. You shall have olive trees throughout all your coasts, but thou shalt not anoint yourself with the oil, for thine oil shall cast, your olive will cast its fruit. You shall beget sons and daughters, but you shall not enjoy them, for they will be brought into captivity. Your trees and your fruit of your land, locusts will consume. Strangers, travelers that are within you, not your people, they will get up very high above you, and you will be brought down very low. So the stranger within you, the immigrant that lives there who's not of your people, he will bring you low, but he's going to become high. He shall lend to thee then, and you shall not lend to him. Another reversal of Yahweh's economic system. He shall be your head, and you will be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of Yahweh thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded thee. They shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon your seed forever. It just won't leave. Yahweh's law, whether it's a blessing or a curse, is stapled to Israel's seed forever. It will always be a witness against him of his error or his blessing. Because you serve not Yahweh your God with joyfulness, with gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things, because you weren't happy with what you had. The joyfulness of your heart, the gladness of your heart, you didn't give him. That's back to what we read in 26, your first fruits. Therefore shall thou serve thine enemies, which Yahweh shall send against thee in hunger, and in thirst, in nakedness, in want of all things, and he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed thee. Yahweh will bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as an eagle flies, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. A nation of a fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, they will not show favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of your cattle, the fruit of your land, until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of your kine, or the flocks of your sheep, until he has destroyed thee. He shall besiege thee in all of your gates, until the high and fenced walls come down wherein thou trusted, wherein thou had faith. Throughout all thy land, and he shall besiege thee in all the gates throughout all thy land which Yahweh thy God had given thee. And then some of the worst things come upon us. After all these bad things happen and we still don't repent, we still say it's just global warming, it's just Islamic terrorism, it's just all the other problems that we have in our country. It couldn't possibly be God. Couldn't be God bringing some of these. And you know what? We still have pretty good times right now. But once it gets this bad, if it ever gets this bad in our country and we don't repent, people will still look up in the heavens and say, must be global warming. Must be all the problems we made, a man made. Couldn't possibly be God. So if that wasn't bad enough, then you'll start to eat the fruit of your own body, the flesh of your own sons and daughters, which Yahweh your God gave thee, in a siege, in your straitness, in your distress. So that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eyes shall be evil towards his own brother and towards the wife of his bosom, towards the remnant of his own children, which he shall leave. So that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his own child whom he will be eating. Pretty gross stuff, isn't it? Because he has nothing left him in the siege, and in the straitness wherein their enemies shall distress thee in all thy gates. The tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for her delicateness and tenderness, her eye will be evil towards the husband of her bosom, towards her son, towards her daughter, and towards her young one that comes out from between her own feet, and towards her children, which she shall bear. For she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the siege and in the straitness, wherein thine enemies shall distress thee in thy gates. If you will not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mightest fear this glorious and fearful name, Yahweh thy God. Then Yahweh will make thy plagues wonderful, and your plagues of your seed even greater plagues, of long continuance, of sore sicknesses, of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon you the diseases of Egypt, which thou was afraid of, and they will cleave unto thee. Also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will Yahweh bring on thee until thou be destroyed. And ye shall be left just few in numbers, whereas you were the stars of heaven for a multitude, because you would not obey the voice of Yahweh your God. It shall come to pass that Yahweh rejoiced over you to do you good, to multiply you. So Yahweh will rejoice over you now to destroy you, to bring you not, that ye shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. And Yahweh will scatter thee among the people, from one end of the earth even to the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, made of wood and stone. Among these nations shall thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of your foot have rest. So, if we would have just listened, if Israel would have just listened as a people, they wouldn't have all these problems. And still Yahweh keeps saying, if you would just obey, I wouldn't destroy you. If you would just come back to me, I wouldn't destroy you. So in 64 he says, and Yahweh will scatter thee among the people from one end of the earth even to the other, and there you will serve other gods which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, made of wood and stone. And among these nations shall you find no ease, neither shall the sole of your foot have rest. But Yahweh will give thee there a trembling heart and failing eyes, sorrow of your mind. Basically, you know what you've become. You've known what happened. And maybe in some cases you don't know what you've done. You've forgotten who you are and why you're there. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night. You shall have no assurance for your life. In the morning you will say, would God it were even. And at even you shall say, would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart, wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see. And Yahweh shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I spake unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again, and there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man will buy you. Now, Egypt may very well be a symbolism here. It may be referring to a symbolic slavery. I'll sell you on ships back into Egypt, or sell you to a people once you've been conquered. But it could also be literal. I don't know. Once you've already been scattered in throughout the earth and you've rebelled, and then God sends you to another place and you rebel, and you go to a new country and a new land and you rebel, and God keeps punishing you and pushing you further, maybe perhaps Yahweh eventually is going to take Israel by ships back to the land of Egypt, the actual literal land of Egypt, and put them all through it again. I don't know. Yahweh's been known to do things like that. Maybe that is what it means, but we can't be sure. We can't be 100% sure. But there's one thing that you can glean from all of this parts of the Bible, as we're going to end here at 29, before we get into 29. There's one thing that I think we can glean is that blessing is a whole lot better than a curse. And that when people lose sight, and I'm going to say it again even though I've said it four times now, when people lose sight of their faith, their amen, that comes from the curse, they don't believe anything will happen, is how we say it now. Oh, if I do that, I don't believe anything's going to happen because of it. That's no different than saying, the curse isn't true, amen. I don't believe Yahweh, amen. When we pray, we often think amen just ends the prayer. But in the law, it actually signifies that you agree to the curse. You know that if you break it, what's going to happen to you. And that's all we have for today.